So, Omaganachamananda Shaganjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, tomorrow is the glorious appearance of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and because we're leaving at 3 in the morning, we're going to have a little class because we're packing right now about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, just some of the main points. So, of course, he is known as the Ray of Vishnu because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed for the right-hand man of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be sent down to assist him in his mission. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was thinking he wanted a sannyasi because he saw, you know, the limitations of having to maintain a family and doing everything like that. So he wanted someone who's free to preach, so he prayed for Ray of Vishnu. And as a result, on February 6th, 1874 in Jagannath Puri, Srila Bhaktivinoda Saraswati Thakur was born. He was known as Bimal Prasad, of course. And he was the sixth child in a family of 13. The fourth of eight sons, and the third by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's second wife. And he was born with the umbilical cord around his neck, and all the different symptoms of Mahapurush were manifest in his on his body. So during the time when he was supposed to get his grains for the first time, it was the Rath Yatra festival, a famous story. The cart stopped for 3 days. They couldn't move it. It's a long time. And his mother finally touched his head to the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath, and the garland of Lord Jagannath fell over him. And then the cart started moving. So that's the first time he took his grains on the cart of Lord Jagannath. It's described his feet were very soft. Anyone who touched them was like butter. The skin was delicate. Even the slightest touch would redden his skin. So, age 3, there was an interesting incident. He ate a mango that was not offered to their Govardhan Chila, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was worshipping the Govardhan Chila. And he was sort of chastised by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a very light way. You know, we should just eat prasadam, food offered to Krishna. And then for the rest of his life,
age three.
Oh my God. And the rest of his life, he refused to eat mangoes. And whenever he was offered a mango, he would quote the verse from the Upanishad, Ishabashamidam Sarvam Gatkacharam Jagat Chena Bunjita Madhura Kashasvidanam, that everything is owned and controlled by the Lord, so one should not accept more than his quota, knowing well to whom they belong. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur noticed his seriousness about Krishna consciousness, and at age 7 he memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita, and he could explain the verses, not just memorizing. Sometimes you see people at Gurukul just like rote reciting the verses, but he actually could give a full purport on each verse. In 1881, when they were excavating the Bhakti Bhavan in Calcutta, Kurmadev, the deity of Kurmadev, was unearthed. And then Bhimo Prasad, that is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, began to worship that deity after he was initiated by his father in the Kurma mantra and also in the Shinga mantra and the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. Because at that time, initiation consisted of the Gayatri mantra. So he got that from Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And from the age of 7, he was wearing tilak. And even in his childhood, Bhaktivinoda Thakur made his chanting compulsory for him. Let's see, he started worshiping Lord Nrisingadev. Lord Nrisingadev, to actually destroy all the impediments in devotional service and karma, because karma is the presiding deity of the nectarian ocean of devotional service of Ras. So, he had a photographic memory. He could remember anything. In fact, Srila Prabhupada once described that he learned English, or at least his vocabulary in English by memorizing the dictionary. Just sat down and memorized the dictionary. And Prabhupada said he was a living encyclopedia. He was not interested in playing with any other boys his own age. And he kept reading the two books by Narottama Das Thakur, the Prajna and Prema Bhakti Chandrika. These were his favorite literatures. Once a Babaji, actually, this is not just the Babaji, that's Vipini Vihari Goswami, noticed that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not pay him obeisances. And Vipini Vihari Goswami was the so-called, well, the initiating guru, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur refused to pay him obeisances. And when he was asked why Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't offer obeisances, he was told because he does not offer dandavats to sahajas. So,
how old was he?
It's not mentioned here, but probably in the teenagers or something like that. You know, so basically he sort of insulted Vipini Vihari Goswami. But later on, of course, when there was that whole discussion about whether Brahmins were superior to Vaishnavas or Vaishnavas superior to Brahmins, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, of course, argued on behalf of the Vaishnavas. And one of the persons arguing on behalf of the Brahmins was the spiritual master, so-called spiritual master, Vipini Vihari, of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he defeated his father's spiritual master. And that's one of the reasons Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't go to that assembly, because he would have had to confront his spiritual master, his initiating spiritual master. In 1888, he started studying astronomy, and he was so impressed, or he had so impressed his teachers, they gave him the name Siddhanta Sarasvati at that point. Because of the Surya Siddhanta, the authorized text on astrology and astronomy. And let's see, other things. He was very expert, of course, in mathematics. In 1892, he entered the Calcutta Sanskrit College. He formed a society named Chira Kumara Sabha, which means the Association of Lifelong Bachelors, or Brahmacharis, also called the August Assembly. And all the members took a vow of lifetime celibacy, and he was the only one who kept the vow. And so he studied grammar during his vacations, Sanskrit grammar, that is. And he was able to go through Panini's grammar book in basically 2 or 3 weeks. And usually it takes a whole lifetime to study the grammar of Sanskrit. And he debated with the head of the astrology department. Whoops, where's that? Skip ahead. All right. Let's see. Oh, he debated with the head of the astronomy department, and an official debate was organized. In other words, the professor was in charge of the astronomy department between the two of them, and the student, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, easily won. Then he got into arguments with the principal. In 1895, he had to leave the college, basically kicked out, because he was defeating everybody. But he actually planned to do that. He said, considering that if I were to remain attentively studying in college, I would be browbeaten to enter family life. But that if I were perceived as a foolish good-for-nothing, then no one would put such an inducement upon me for becoming engaged in worldly advancement. And to maintain my life for service to Hari, I sought an honest occupation with a modest income. So from 1895 to 1905, he worked for the King of Tripura as the overseer of the secretariat in Calcutta.
He was 32 when he was born in 1870.
Yeah. But then there was so much, let's say, envy, malice, and what we call sleaze, that means cheating, sleazy like a pig, that he had to disentangle himself from that, and finally resigned in 1905. In 1897, he started observing Chaturmasya, and he would only eat one or two palmfuls of rice with a touch of ghee, and the rice was cooked by his own hand with no salt or spices, and he would follow this like feeding like a cow, that means going down and eating directly from the ground with no plate. He didn't shave. That's when you see the pictures of him. He didn't shave and didn't cut his nails and practically didn't sleep at all. And he lay on the bare earthen floor of his shed. When he was 25, he was requested to take initiation from Srila Gaura Kishoredas Babaji Maharaj. And there's that whole story that the first time he approached him, Srila Gaura Kishoredas Babaji Maharaj said, "I have to ask Lord Chaitanya." Second time he approached Gaura Kishoredas Babaji Maharaj, Gaura Kishoredas Babaji Maharaj said, "I forgot to ask." Third time he approached, and Gaura Kishoredas Babaji Maharaj said, he said no. Lord Chaitanya said no. And the fourth time he said, "I'm going to kill myself unless you give me initiation." And he got initiation from Srila Gaura Kishoredas Babaji Maharaj. He was the only initiated disciple of Srila Gaura Kishoredas Babaji Maharaj. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Very similar to Narottama
Das Thakur's. Yeah, but it's actually quite more dramatic than Narottama Das Thakur's story. Then, this is his words about Srila Gaura Kishoredas Babaji Maharaj. "When out of false ego I was thinking, I am a great scholar of mathematics and philosophy. Let any big pundit come any day or night, and I will cut his propositions to pieces. At that time, I got the darshan of the lotus feet of Srila Gurudev. He ignored everything that was previously appreciated in me, my truthfulness, my moral and pious life, and my intellectualism, knowing them to be of little value. When I saw that he ignored whatever was good in me, I realized how good he himself must be. Who could neglect so many good qualities in me? What inconceivable wealth he possessed." In other words, he was saying, I mean, this is a pastime, of course, he was saying that he was proud of his good qualities.
At least he was highly aware of them.
"Being neglected by him, I understood that there was no one more fallen and contemptible than myself. That was my actual identity. The very things that I judged deserata, such, in other words, things that are desirable, such as scholarship and upright character, this exalted soul regarded as valueless. I apprehended that within himself, this noble personality possessed priceless treasure. I then pondered that either he is extremely puffed up or is exceedingly merciful. I then haughtily said to my Gurudev, 'You are a worshipper of that Chidaran Debauchi Krishna. Why would you be compassionate to someone like me dedicated to ordinary morality? Humbly and sincerely, I prayed to the Supreme Lord for his mercy. Later, by his grace, I recognized that without receiving the blessings of this peerless saint and without serving him, nothing good could happen to me. When I accepted that and acted accordingly, and then received the causeless, unlimited grace of my Sri Gurudev and refuge at his lotus feet, I deem my life fulfilled." So, anyway, so, actually, we didn't want to go on too long, because you all have things to do and you're all tired. So we should end now, because we're traveling, and we can speak more tomorrow, I guess, in the car or somewhere, because I can bring this with me.
Maybe you go live. You guys can watch live.
Live from the car. Bouncing around in the car. We'll see. Okay, it's nice of all of you to join us. We're going to Sridhar Mayapur tomorrow and for the ecstatic GBC meetings. And we're not going to go live at the GBC meetings because I'm compassionate to those of you who are watching. Okay, all good.